This is Norm.
This is Chad from WDFNW. How are you guys doing?
Good.
This is Andy. I'm here.
Okay, so I heard Andy, Marlisa, Norm. Is there anybody else?
Greg.
Bob.
Greg.
Bob.
Bob. Ross.
Jack.
Jim.
Jim Sace.
Jack.
Francis wasn't going to make it, and Jess wasn't going to make it, okay, so we got a lot of stuff to go over, so I think I'm going to go ahead and get started. What I want to do today is kind of update you guys really quick on the fisheries information to date through the closure. We'll just touch base on that really quickly. Want to spend most of the time going through the hatchery information and where we are with egg takes and all that stuff. We started spawning this week. Talk a little bit about the stock assessment data. And after we do that, we really have basically three options in front of us. Kind of go through those options and then take some feedback on that from the group. And since last week we went alphabetical order A through Z, this week we'll turn that around and go Z through A. So it sounded like someone just joined us. Did someone just join the call?
Chad, this is Tim.
Sorry, it's an app.
Tim, okay. All right, and just so everybody knows, I'm in Olympia with Kyle Addix. Kurt is at a conference up in BC this week, and we have Annette on the road somewhere. So, okay, I'll start with the fisheries information. So, for the wreck fishery through the closure on Friday, we have an estimated 8,166 anglers participating who have harvested an estimated 1,118 Chinook. Of those, we have 728 being of Willapa Bay origin. We have an estimated natural origin Chinook mortality of 46 in conjunction with those fisheries, of which 30 would be Willapa origin based on the genetics data. And just to touch on coho, an estimated 610 coho total taken, harvested in that fishery, 420 of them hatchery origin, 190 natural origin. So just to put that in perspective in terms of expectation, so far Willapa origin dead fish, natural origin in that wreck fishery, we have 35 to date. The projection through this date was 277, so well below. And similarly with the hatchery fish that have been harvested, 752 fish harvested. And that includes these numbers include the July time frame as well, versus a projection of 3,852. So, any questions on that wreck data?
Yes. Would you repeat that one more time? We have how many? What was our projected NOR impact?
277 through this stat week. When the fishery closed.
The expectation was on the forecasted return,
yes.
Not on the actual return, though. So
yes.
Even though we've only killed 30, did you say of them, there's only 30? Are we talking strictly recreational impact?
Yes.
Here?
Yeah, I haven't got to the commercial data yet, Marlisa.
Okay. Okay, so we've only done 30 out of 277, yet our forecasted run size isn't what it was supposed to be to get to that 277 either, correct?
Exactly, yeah. Every indication we have is obviously we don't have the tools for a run size update, but it looks to be as through, you know, fisheries monitoring and rack returns that Chinook are not returning in the numbers we would expect so far.
And these are for the bay, you just gave us, right?
Yeah, those numbers, the preseason versus the projection or the actual is just of Willapa origin.
For the bay, not fresh water, correct? Right?
Yeah. Okay, so I'll move on to commercial data. So through the closure to date, commercial fisheries have harvested 1,536 hatchery Chinook. The projection was for 5,429 by this time frame. In terms of natural origin impacts, we have 112 natural origin impacts accrued. Versus 249 projection. So, to put that in perspective, let me move on to chum. So chum, we really haven't had anything. They've harvested 12 chum. The projection was for 19. So really too early to say much of anything about chum. For coho...
Chad, are they keeping chum now?
Yes, they would be. The regulation would have been to keep chum prior to the closure and release them in November.
Roger that.
Okay. So, in terms of coho, to date, they have harvested 1,944 hatchery coho. The projection was for 1,389. For wild fish, they have harvested 1,124, and the projection was for 260. So while it's still really early, those appear to be good, strong numbers for coho early on. We do have the coho ISU based on CPUE of the commercial fishery, but that ISU does not become... does not work until stat week 41, so we really need more data on coho before we could run any sort of in-season run size update for that. So that's basically what I have for fisheries monitoring up through the closure. Any questions on that? Those commercial numbers.
Yeah, what was that on the natural origin coho?
The commercial fishery has harvested 1,124. The projection was for 260.
Okay. Now, that 1,124, was that included in that 1,944 for the coho?
No, the first one was just how many hatchery fish has been landed.
Okay.
Yeah, 1,944 was the hatchery. 1,124 was the wild number. Okay, I'll go ahead and move on to the hatchery information. So I want to start at Forks Creek. So we have, just to give people an update, we have been actively brood stocking throughout the weekend. We did get a little more rain than what was forecast, so that was good, and we got a good push of fish into Forks Creek over the weekend that really bounced those numbers up a little bit, and I'll get into more detail in just a second. We started spawning out of the adult ponds. We did Forks on Monday. Nacelle was yesterday, and Nema is happening as we speak. So I've got some pretty solid information from Forks and Nacelle. We'll have a little bit more solid information about Nema by this afternoon at some point. So just kind of bear that in mind as we go through here. So for Forks Creek, The release target is 350,000. Basically, what that means is we need 130 pairs to spawn, or 130 females. That's really the money maker here, right? So far to date, we have spawned 62 females. That means we need 68 more to make egg take at Forks Creek Hatchery. On hand, we have about 1,650 fish. Of those, there are still 875 females in the pond at Forks Creek. So we've got quite a chunk of females there at Forks Creek. For natural origin fish, we have upstreamed 119 wild Chinook out of Forks Creek, 61 of those females. And we've had 12 pond morts to date, of which 8 of those are females. So we haven't really seen a big mortality there at Forks Creek. And just so everyone knows, for our egg takes, we're using a fecundity of 3,000. That would be representative of what we saw last year. That's a pretty low fecundity for Chinook, and hopefully it's not replicated, but in order to just be conservative, we're using last year's number of 3,000.
So that's due to the size of the fish, Chad.
What's that?
I said that's due to the size of the fish.
Well,
fish, we only got a 13-pound average or 14-pound average on those fish, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Eggs.
Yeah, and what we've seen over the past 8 years is a reduction in fecundity. So we want to make sure that we're using an appropriate value so we can estimate this as closely as we possibly can. Of course, we won't have a total take of eggs until we go through and pick and run those through the egg counters. So right now, these are just estimates based on that 3,000 fecundity. So I just wanted everyone to be aware of that. At Nacelle Hatchery, we have a release target of 2.5 million. We need 920 females or pairs of fish to reach that target. So far to date, we have spawned 65 females, giving us an egg take of 184,500. That leaves us 855 females short, is what we need to reach that target. We have 845 Chinook on hand in the adult pond still left, of which only 271 of those are females. So we still need more fish for Nacelle if we want to pull that broodstock from that system. We have upstreamed 117 natural origin fish, of which 53 were females. And for mortalities at Forks Creek, we've had 75 pond morts to date, of which 52 are females. So a little bit more elevated number there than what we've seen at Forks Creek, but that probably has to do with the length of time those fish have been freshwater. Water temperature, low water, all that stuff is having an effect, and it's likely that we could experience some elevated level of pond mortalities given the environmental and habitat conditions that we've had. So, for Nema Hatchery, we have a release goal of 3.3 million. That means 1,210 females or pairs of fish. As I mentioned, they're spawning today, so we'll have a little bit better idea by the end of the day. But so far, they have spawned 23 fish. That leaves us with a need of 1,187 females. We still have 2,000 fish in the facility, and in our little holding area in the river there. An estimate of the proportion of those fish that are females is going to be similar to Nema, I think, or similar to Nacelle, where I think, you know, low end is probably 30% and high end is 40% of those fish would be females. So we've taken about 70,000 eggs so far at Nema. We've upstreamed 57 natural origin Chinook, with 16 of those being female. We have seen 169 pond morts, of which 103 of those have been females. And we're starting to know that those fish, noticed that those fish are looking pretty beat up, and we're starting to see indications of ick on those fish. So that would be indicative of the environmental conditions and habitat conditions that Bob mentioned earlier, with the low stream flows, some decent temperatures. From a stock assessment perspective, on Monday we conducted the survey from the nacelle hatchery weir down to power lines. It's approximately 0.6 of a mile. So far to date, we have 42 reds. Spawning just really started last week, with 9 reds last week, and we had 33 reds this week. So we're just starting to see spawning in some of our lower sections in the watershed. A live count of fish in that section. They counted 1,035 live Chinook not associated with reds, and 102 coho.
Which river are you on now?
That's the nacelle. And for mortalities there, they had a total of 44 mortalities, with 24 of those being pre-spawn female mortalities. So for the NEMA system looks a lot similar to the nacelle. They did that on Monday as well. We have a total of 33 reds in the section right below the property to what we call Barbara Wolf's Bridge. It's approximately a little less than a half a mile. We had 3 reds last week and 30 reds this week. So once again, spawning just starting to take off. And these are really the only sections in the whole watershed that we have any reds yet. We'll be doing, you know, the rest of the watershed throughout the rest of the week, so should have an update on that later on in the week. In terms of live fish, they counted 491 live Chinook in that section and no coho. For mortalities, they had 48 total mortalities, with 21 of those being pre-spawn females. And just a side note here, at Nacelle Hatchery, we also have 716 coho that have recruited to the adult pond, which is a pretty good number given how early it is. When we went through the pond at Forest Creek on Monday, there were some coho in there, not in any real big numbers, and we didn't really sort those out. It's just a handful of fish, I would say less than 50. So that's pretty much what we know right now. Is there any questions on any of that information?
Hey, Chad, I do have one question on the nacelle.
Mm-hmm.
Did they get that chiller in operation yet?
Did they get the what? I'm sorry, Bob?
The chiller in operation yet to cool the water down.
You know, I didn't talk to John about that yesterday. I'll have to ask him. I'm putting that down as a note, and I'll have to get back to you on that one, Bob. I just don't know as I sit here today.
I know they were working on it to get it in operation, so.
Yeah, I know they were working on it. I just don't know if everything's up to snuff right now. I'm not sure they had a chance to finish it. Yeah. Yeah, so I'll have to get back to you on that one.
Okay. This is Ross. What water would they be cooling?
So, I think they would be doing that for incubation.
Yeah, okay. Not there how you could cool a big pond.
No. We're not talking about cooling an adult pond. No, this would be just to cool things down in the incubation room a little bit if stream flows are high. Another concern we have at NEMA, that we have for the whole watershed, really is the forecast, and I want to talk about that for just a second. It looks like we have a little bit of rain projected for the area on Tuesday. That's been everly evolving. Initially, it looked like we were going to get maybe some decent rainfall over the weekend. Now that's been downgraded to just a tenth or a quarter of an inch on Tuesday, and really nothing after that. So long-term forecast isn't giving us any relief in the sense of rainfall. So with that, we have a water issue. issue at NEMA. We're hopeful that we can keep that pond going as much as we can, but as stream flows continue to come down and when they should be increasing, there is a possibility that we could have a dissolved oxygen issue and see elevated mortalities because we're just not getting the flow that we need. So that could be a concern in the future.
You know, this is Ross. I noticed last night, I almost the whole river is going through the hatchery now. I mean, taking every drop they can get. It's not enough, I guess.
Yeah, no, we're taking everything that we can possibly take to run through. I know they did a reading yesterday, and we had 7% DO, dissolved oxygen, at the outflow yesterday, which is on the low side, but it's still okay. We're going to be monitoring that, but there's a concern that if that number continues to drop, we could see some decent mortality at NEMA.
Well, there's things that can be done to spray water in the air and stuff. Normally, DO is not a problem up there, but you can aerate that water more than you are now.
Okay. So are there any more questions about any of that stuff?
I got a question on the ick, Dad. Now, was that ick that was it showed up, was it in the hatchery already, or was it in the river?
You know, I think we're seeing it in both places. I don't know why the call is doing that. I'm sorry, guys. So, and also wanted to let people know, we've been, usually we would send out a mailer with some information prior to having this conference call. We've been diligently working on putting all that together. Just got it done in time. We'll try and get that out later on today or tomorrow morning when Barb gets done with spawning down at Nacelle. So we'll get that information out to you guys as quick as we possibly can. And I apologize for not getting it out sooner. Did anybody else have a question? Yeah.
This is Tim.
Okay, Tim.
We talk about the number of pumps that have breached the cell as being encouraging me. But same token, the count of coho downstream is not. The other problem that we seem to have is that there is a lopsided expectation of Norse, where we took out a lot more Norse in the commercial fleet than we anticipated we would. And then most importantly, if those numbers were, say, instead of 700 or 800, were, say, 200, we would be in concern. What would move it from 200 to 800 is the fact we shut the fisheries down. So with the fisheries off the water, you have to remember that means this is not an indication that more fish are coming that we need to get hatchery 18 for coho or natural or spawners for coho in themselves.
Okay.
If I might make a comment on that, because the Norse, there's a lot of fish being released at RSIs on the Nacelle system that would be accounting for that, being they have been being fed for the last 3 years. And I think that's probably made a big difference on the return of those fish on the coho side.
Yeah. Well, folks, I think it's really too early at this point in time. We could guesstimate what coho is likely to be all day long. Really, we just need some more time to pass so we can collect the information and get a good indication of where coho sit. I think the only thing we can say right now is some of the recruitment that we've seen both to the commercial fishery and at the rack are encouraging, but nothing, it's so early, you don't want to hang your hat on any of that stuff yet. And with the limited amount of rainfall that we had and the little push of rain that we saw a lot of fish move, I think trying to theorize on what that run size may be would be to our detriment at this point in time. So with that being said, I think I'll move on to the options that we have kind of in front of us. So, really, as the department sees it, we've got three options here. Option A would be to status quo, keep everything closed, continue to evaluate over the weekend and first part of next week, and then take a look at it again and see if we have any more level of comfort. The option B would be to open up some of the saltwater areas for both some limited recreational and commercial harvest. We could then use that data to evaluate where we're sitting, and if Chinook have cleared the bay, to get, you know, just to get some opportunity back out there and try and focus some of that on utilizing kind of a risk versus reward. Historical run timing information would tell us through this statistical week, 35% of every fish, of all the encounters, 35% of those would be Chinook. And then in stat week 40, next week, that drops to 12%. So our historical run timing information would suggest we're really on the downside of Chinook moving through the salt. And then option C would be just to reopen everything. You know, that seems like the most problematic option. I don't think that would be one that the department would recommend, given the numbers that we just went through, both in terms of the hatchery and the need for eggs, as well as the environmental conditions that we're experiencing in freshwater. So, with that being said, I think we'll go through in reverse alphabetical order and take people's input on that, unless there's a question about any of the options that people may want to clarify.
This is Tim again.
Uh-huh.
On option B, you say that we're going to open a limited recreational commercial fisheries in marine area?
Yes.
Please define limited, so I would understand what that would be, and can you provide the impacts on moors and hatchery fish? In other words, I don't know what this means.
Yeah, no, I get it, Tim. No, that makes sense. So I think what we're talking about was what is under consideration is reopening Marine Area 2-1 to recreational fishing, including the control zone. I think we want to talk about whether we have a one or a two fish bag limit associated with that. I would think that those regs would be no retention of any Chinook, so we'd release all Chinook. It'd just really be coho and chum that we'd be harvesting in that rec fishery. Similarly, for the commercial fishery, we take a look at maybe fishing Thursday and possibly Friday, 12-hour openers, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., just in areas 2T and 2N to kind of take a look at what that stock comp is, or species composition is in kind of the outer areas, 2T and 2N being more the middle of the bay, and stay out of the more terminal areas of the bay. If there are still some Chinook to be had, they may be in those terminal areas. So let's take a look in some of those other areas and make sure we're clear before we do anything further. And I would expect that regulation would also be a release Chinook. So those fisheries would just be harvesting coho and chum. We would, the department would monitor both those fisheries pretty heavily as they were open and through the weekend for the rec fishery. And then we could take a look at that data and evaluate early next week and see what it tells us, as well as, you know, some updated numbers from stock assessment and from the hatchery returns.
Was that B or C, option C?
That was option B, yeah. Option C would just be to go back to the regular schedule for both commercial and recreational fisheries, both in the salt and the freshwater, and that's an option I just don't think has any legs with the numbers we're seeing. I don't really think it's a consideration, but it is a way you could go.
Chad, you didn't mention what kind of nets you would be using.
Those would be regular small mesh, coho nets.
59% mortality on Chinook.
Yep.
Chad, this is Tim again. What days are you talking about for the wrecks? Are you talking about emergency rules that would reopen the marine for recreational fishing, release all Chinook until further notice? Or are you talking about just Thursday and Friday or something like you did, you're talking about with the commercial fleet?
Well, we would consider both, but I think from where we stand, it would probably be until further notice, and then we'd take we'd be watching that real closely over the weekend and might have to make a change if those numbers. So what I would be looking at in that fishery is that species comp is really holding true to the values I spoke about earlier. If we saw, a recruitment of somewhere between 10 and 30% into both of those fisheries of Chinook in terms of the total salmonid encounters, then I think we would be tracking and things would be looking normal like we would expect. If those numbers were higher than 30%, then that would let us know that, wow, there's still a bunch of Chinook out in the salt, and maybe that alleviates some of our concern for broodstock and whatnot. But, we wouldn't know until we got there. So that's kind of what I would be looking at.
Chad, this is Bob. I got one question.
Mm-hmm.
On when you said reopen 2-1 Willapa Bay.
Yeah.
Where is the upper line on 2-1 at for the recreational fishery?
For the Willapa? On the Willapa, it's at South Bend Boat Launch.
Well, that's part of 2U. And
yeah.
There's no 2U fishery for the commercials at all.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking that I don't think that'd be such a great idea.
Okay, well, we'll go through and do the input section on that in just a second, Bob.
Okay.
So are there any more questions about the proposals or the options in front of us? Norm, I'm having a real hard time hearing you. It's real faint. Are you there, Norm?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Did you call my name?
Yeah, no. Go ahead.
Okay. Option A.
Okay, we'll get to that section we'll get to that part in a minute. Do you have any questions about the options or anything?
You've given me everything I need to hear.
Okay, so with that, let's we'll go through in reverse alphabetical order, and we'll see if I can keep this straight. So we'll start with Tim.
With me?
Yep. We're going reverse alphabetical this time. Remember, you got last time.
Yeah. I have mixed emotions about this. Chinook in the bay, 30, 40, and up to, I'm following the model that was presented in the book for a commercial proposal.
Mm-hmm.
It shows that on the decline, expected
Okay, thanks for that, Tim. We'll go to Ross next.
Okay, I really see little choice with the status quo, the 59% Chinook mortality, and I quote test that fishery. You know, you gave us some numbers. This week we're still at 35% Chinook. Next week it drops to 12. If you want to go out there and risk killing Chinook, couldn't be this week. I see a little prospect of Renee Zeller and Nemo, the two big producers, getting egg cake. And that's before you consider that, you know, what we're having now is an El Nino, and they stay in. And so if the fish in the Nemo and probably the Nazelle, if they move to the hatchery, then they have no motivation to do that now with the water level. If they move to the hatchery, you wouldn't make egg tank. And so we're not going to meet egg tank. And you can't have a fishery on 35% Chinook with 59% mortality. And so you got to stick with option A.
Okay, thanks for that. Let's see, do this in my head. Norm.
Okay, option A, status quo to at least next week for basically the same reasons. If we're still at less than half there for eggs, why are we going to imperil 35% of our Chinook? It just doesn't make sense. Everybody, close for at least another week. We have another conference call next week to see if the rain helped us. I'm done.
Okay, thank you, Norm. Let's see, then we would go to Marlisa.
I'm not comfortable with 35% of the fish being Chinook encounters this coming week either. I vote for option A. I think that we should reevaluate next week and see where we stand.
Okay, thank you for that. Lance.
Okay, you got me?
Yep, I hear you.
A couple of things that I didn't ask him earlier, but where are we tracking wise as far as, I know when you're looking at your past history at 35%, and obviously that started on a Sunday stat week.
Yeah.
Which now we're looking at Thursday, which is basically the end of the week. But
yeah.
Where are we tracking, like the last week that we fished? Are we still tracking full with past history? My question is because it seems like what we've seen is the fish came earlier and probably we're at a much lower rate now, but I don't know where you track as far as last week's fishery compared to past history.
Yeah, it would appear, based on the data that we've collected to date, it would appear that peak Chinook run timing shifted about a week earlier than what we would expect, given the historical data.
Right.
So, and you are correct that, yeah, that stat week runs Sunday through Saturday, and we're at the back end of stat week 39, so that 35% is likely a real high. Now, is likely high, right? But I don't think it's the 12 that we see next week either.
Correct. So that was my first question on it.
Okay.
I think that as we go forward and we look at this and everybody wants to wait until next week to have another meeting and talk about this stuff, I just want to be honest. I think our fishery's over by the time you get to the end of next week. And if we're going to start managing this thing on, we've got to get our eggs before we open a fishery, I would like to see us set that precedent and we don't fish until we get our egg take. I have no problem with that. But I would like to see us manage that way in the future and that we don't have any sort of fisheries until we meet or egg take, whether it be Norris or wild coho or what it would be. So if that's how we're going to start managing it, then I hope everybody that's conservation minded realizes we won't fish until after January. But so with that being said, I'd like to see us go back, at least try a couple days this week and see what it is, fished for 2.5 months, so our guys are definitely looking for something to try to make a dollar and survive on. I know it doesn't matter to a lot of people, but it's if there's an opportunity for us to go catch some coho, I'd like to see us try.
Okay, thanks for that, Lance. Let's see, who do I have next? I have Jim. Are you still with us, Mr. Sace?
Okay.
Are you there, Jim? Okay, maybe Jim might have dropped off the call. We'll check on him in a second. Let's go to Jack.
I go with option D. I fished open last week, and I had one NOR the last 3 days, so, and I think three hatchery fish, which, you know, what I've noticed, there's very little effort this year. Nobody, I don't know how it is on the South Bay, but out at Tolkien, there's just nobody fishing all week. So there's not going to be much effort, so I think we should take option B.
It was closed all week.
Not last week. Well, it was open.
It was open until Friday last week.
Yeah.
We fished our schedule through the week. We've only been closed this week.
There's only like 6 or 7 boats fishing out of Tolkien. I mean, that's nothing. Our fleet used to be 75 boats, and just nobody's fishing. So there's not going to be much effort, I don't believe. If they're not there by now, if the guys didn't fish by now, I don't think they're going to drag the boats out for 1 or 2 days.
Okay. Let's see. Next, we'll have Greg.
Yeah, you got me?
Yep, I hear you.
Yeah, I agree with Jack on that. The Columbia River terminal areas over here opened up, so we're going to have even less boats than what we've had. We've got a very small fleet. I go with option B. I just find it hard for us to be punished for overfishing the freshwater areas like we did. And it's not right to the commercial guys that have basically fished a couple, 3 days. Yeah, when you ran your freshwater and recreational fishery wide open for as long as you have, they've taken we have no idea what they harvested, so we won't know that for a year and a half. So I agree. Option B, let's go back fishing. This is the end of that stat week. I mean, we have to look at that as well. You know, the week's basically over, so we should be expecting less fish, less mortalities on it. Let's run it and see what we catch. If there's fish there, then we'll reevaluate. If there's nothing, we're not going to fish anyway. So let's let the people that haven't fished and are supposed to have priority on coho, let's let them go fishing and not punish them for overfishing the freshwater. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Greg. Let's see, Bob?
I gotta agree with what Jack and Greg have said, but also, I think it's important, maybe, that with 2T and 2N being open, and a possibility, we can find out if there is any shit up there, and if we're not gonna be able to retain them, and we're still on 45 intercept times with the recovery boxes and that, we can also get that data and information an update. Now, I would also suggest that we have scheduled a conference call for next Monday morning to see where the hell we're at. So if we do have possibility of fisheries, we can get fishing.
Okay, thank you for that, Bob. And last but surely not least, the distinguished Mr. Midby.
Okay, that 35%, that would be if all areas were open, correct?
That would be all, if all areas were open, and that would be what the model would predict. I've worked it up since we've been sitting here. Over the last week of fishing, just using commercial fishery data, we're at 17.4 in terms of an encounter ratio for Chinook. So 17.4% of all the salmonids we touched in the commercial fishery last week, through last week, would have been Chinook. So that, right.
So realistically, like you said, this is a conservative measure. We're not fishing the terminal areas. The Chinook encounters, reality, they're 17.4 now. Those are real-time numbers. Okay? We're a week later, we're at the end of the week. So the reality is that, is it possible the numbers go up? Yes. Is it likely? No. Okay? I would also like to correct, our mortality rate is not 59%. I think it's 45. Correct, Chad?
No, it's 56% for small mesh, I believe. We're talking coho gear.
Yeah, I think it's less than 56%. I think that 56 is for Canadian. I could be wrong. Been wrong before.
Yeah, no, I'll have to go and double check that, but I'm pretty sure we're at 56% for small mesh. Small mesh gear is 56. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, so so when you say 35%, it's 35% of really how many fish? You know, we're not talking thousands. We're talking very minimal numbers. Okay. You have a manageable fleet. We have the benefit right now that we have a very, very manageable fleet. We also have the benefit that you get our numbers immediately, not a year and a half. You have the numbers at the end of the day. So if the numbers are skewed, you can shut us down immediately. We wouldn't even fish on Friday if you didn't, you know, if the numbers were that bad. I would agree with the rest of the commercial advisors. We should have this opportunity. You know, we're not going to fish in the terminal areas. If the numbers look good, I would say there's no reason to even wait till Monday. We should be back in the water on Sunday. Expand the areas, but to put us off to the end of next week and just be, you know, then you got to go back to what Lance is saying. If we're not going to execute any fisheries until we have our egg cake, then nobody fishes until January 1st. And if we're going to set that precedent now, okay, let everybody in the room know that that's what we're going to, how we're going to manage for next year. Okay, all right. We should have this opportunity to go fishing. The coho are our priority. So I go with option B, with no time to waste, ready to execute the fishery back immediately on Sunday, Monday at the latest, if the numbers look good.
Okay, thanks for that, Andy. All right, so that's everything we wanted to cover on the call. We had a couple advisors who weren't able to make it, so I'm going to be reaching out to them this afternoon to make sure that they get the information and can provide us some input. And we'll the department will huddle up here and we'll figure out where we're going, and we'll get back to you guys as soon as we possibly can with whatever decision happens. So
I'd like to make one more comment, Chad.
Who is this?
Yeah,
go ahead.
You know, nothing has ever been said about this 45 minutes, so I was thinking about it this last week when I was fishing. On a 12-hour opener, I only get to fish my net is only fishing half, probably less than half of the time. And I lay it out, that first mesh has to be out of the water in 45 minutes. That means my whole net is fishing probably less than 25 minutes out of an hour, hour and a half. So we're not talking, we're going out there fishing 12 hours. We're lucky to have a net in the water for 5 or 6 hours. I'd just like to let the sports know that you send a commercial fleet out on a 45-minute set, he's only fishing half of those hours that he gets.
Okay, thanks for that, Jack.
Hey, Chad, this is Norm.
Yeah.
I have a question. We're crunching numbers. Well, you're crunching numbers as we're talking. My perception here, based on the data we've gotten the last couple of weeks, is this year's run is looking rather dismal. And my comment to that is, even though on a stat week you're showing 35% and you're crunching numbers and it's like 17, could that truly be a reflection of the fact that what we have is a substantially reduced run size? That we really, really missed that run size this year? That these fish just aren't there?
Absolutely.
Anything we take out of them, we're going to miss our egg cake.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that that is a definite possibility, and could be why, if we have a strong coho return and a diminished Chinook return, then you would expect those encounter ratios to not be the same as what the history would say. So that is okay. Definitely a possibility.
Thank you.
Yeah, this is Ross. That's a very important. I just don't understand how he say, since we don't have very many fish, we can fish on them. But when you don't have very many fish, you need to leave them alone.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks.
Thank you.
When can we expect a, what we know what we're going to do here?
I hope to have a decision by the end of the day. It is my hope. I can't guarantee anything. We've got folks spread throughout the Pacific Northwest today, and that's, you know, just couldn't be avoided. So we're going to try our best to get our heads together and get back.
And if we go fishing, is it still going to be for a third day or what?
We'll just have to see where those conversations end up.
Okay.
So right. I hope to get something to you guys by 5 o'clock.
December.
Is my hope.
You guys wide open. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks. Thanks everybody for their time. I appreciate it, and we'll be in contact. Thank you.